Chapter 15. Aboard Concussor, Outer Rim.
The new cook, a scarred, tattooed Corellian man who wore a long ponytail and no other hair, but who, Vort had to admit, could cook a fine bantha tapado stew, distributed the last cup of calf to Termin, who sat at the navigator's console. On his way off the bridge, the cook stopped and gave Vort a perturbed look.
Will you, require anything special for dinner?
Vort also had to admit to himself that he warranted a perturbed look or two. He was dressed in the remnants of the gray uniform once owned by Concussor's captain. Their seams had burst rather than let out, so the garments hung in tatters on him, held in place only by the elaborate array of gun belts and weapons bandoliers with which Vort had draped himself. Two, across the last couple of days, the other wraiths, in their various disguises, had told many stories about Gronk, how his favorite meals involved human meat, how one should never gamble with him because he couldn't read cards and always lost, which inevitably meant death for the other players, how the ends of his tusks and fingernails were coated with invisible, slow-acting poison. It was death just to scrap with him. Even for smugglers and pirates anxious to earn a credit by any means possible, the sheer volume of the stories was alarming. A pity the other wraiths hadn't told Vort they were telling these stories. He only discovered the fact after all the new crew members began shying away from him. He was pondering his answer. The cook understood Gamorrean, when Jesmyn, at the sensor officer's console, still in her security operative identity's wig and makeup, but wearing an Imperial lieutenant's uniform and insignia, looked up.
Contact. At the limits of sensor range. They're transmitting. It's the priority code we've been waiting for.
Bindi, now in an Imperial uniform, slouching in the captain's chair, snapped upright.
Command crew only. Everyone else clear the bridge.
The cook dashed out. As soon as the door was shut and sealed behind him, Vort activated his throat implant.
It's about time.
He strode to the navigator station as Termin abandoned it. Bindi stood up from the captain's chair, but hit the intercom button on its arm.
4, 6, we're on. Report readiness.
Voices spoke from the chair arm. Trey's first.
4 here. Engineering clear except for me. And sealed. All power and engines are optimal.
Then Scut responded.
6 in security, ready.
Vort shed a belt and a bandolier. They made it hard to sit. He took Termin's seat and bent over the navigation controls.
Transferring pilot controls to my station. Complete.
Transferring communications controls to my station.
Jesmyn sounded as cool and unworried as Bindi and Vort had.
Complete. Sensors now indicate the contact is a small warship, probably corvette, probably twice our mass and weaponry, but not huge. They're approaching at cruise speed.
From the corner of his eye, Vort glimpsed Termin performing a high-speed identity change. The man threw his tunic into a corner. From an emergency equipment locker in the bulkhead, he pulled the white-haired, aristocratic-featured neoglyph masker Scut had made for him. He donned it in seconds, then slipped into clothes from the same locker, a tidy gray uniform with the lieutenant commander's rank insignia on the breast. Vort nodded, satisfied. In years past, he'd seen Face do it faster, but Face had never had to deal with a neoglyph masker. Vort rated Termin's effort as a tie with Face's. Termin, now Lieutenant Commander Holcroft, took the captain's chair.
Ready.
His voice bore the clipped accent that was natural to upper-class Coruscant citizens and affected by many Imperial officers. Bindi moved to sit at the station between Jesmyn and Vort.
Weapons and deflectors down, but ready to rise. Calm? Are they hailing?
Jesmyn nodded.
Just now, Alliance Corvette Starhook, Captain Evelyn commanding.
Bindi considered.
Voice Evelyn. Just promoted to captain. This is her first command. I'm sorry to hear she might be mixed up with Thal. I know her family. Her mother is Admiral Bionna Drace.
Termin cleared his throat.
Who?
One second. Sensors, make sure Vought's not in the holocam view.
Jesmyn clicked a couple of switches and looked at one of her auxiliary monitors.
All clear.
Go.
Terman faced the center of the viewport directly ahead.
Put her on, Lieutenant.
The forward viewport darkened to opacity, and a new image glowed into life there. It was another ship's bridge, its furnishings and consoles showing more blue than white. Its captain in the background and a trio of bridge officers in the foreground, a virtual double of the arrangement Bindi had set up. The officers wore Galactic Alliance naval blues. The captain was a human woman, her brown hair in a bun, her skin a reddish tan. Terman gave the other officer a pleasant nod.
Captain Evelyn, congratulations on your recent promotion. Your mother must be quite proud.
Evelyn raised an eyebrow.
You know my mother?
I've met her, but I was not in this uniform at the time, or in any uniform. She probably wouldn't remember me.
While Terman spoke, Bindi began typing innocuously at her console. The forward port side viewport blanked, and then text began to appear on it. Biana hides recurrent tachyodermitis from command. Terman continued without a break.
I hope her twitching has finally cleared up.
Evelyn paused, then offered a chilly smile.
Certainly. It was mysterious, but at least it was brief. And how is your knee? Better, I hope.
Vought almost cheered. Not only had Face gotten to the naval archives, but someone had accessed them in a search for Hocroft's name. The searchers would have found only one report, an addendum to an operation by Alliance commandos during the Second Galactic Civil War, mentioning their encounter with an Ivan Hocroft and his recent knee injury. The last exchange between Evelyn and Terman would cement in the captain's mind the notion that Hocroft was a Black Ops Imperial operative with extensive connections in and knowledge of the Alliance military. Vought returned his attention to the navigation board, and his elation evaporated. Unpleasantries concluded, Terman got to the subject.
By the way, I was expecting the General.
Evelyn nodded.
He's been notified. We made good time by taking a couple of cross jumps off the major routes, so our arrival caught him a little off guard. He'll be here momentarily.
Vought began typing, and his words appeared beneath Bindi's. Oncoming corvette has sideslipped an approach, directly ahead. If we need to go to hyperspace, must maneuver and expose flank. He saw the gaze of the others flick over to the screen and take in its message. Bindi typed back. Stay chilly. Terman offered a slight shrug.
While we wait, care for a game of virtual sabacc?
Evelyn frowned.
I've never heard of it.
It's also called excess. I shuffle a deck of cards in my mind, as you do in yours. We each deal a hand. Of course, since it's a mental exercise, we have the ultimate power to cheat, as if we had decks entirely composed of skifters. Since we could each choose the most valuable hand possible, the first trick each of us faces is to choose a hand that will win, but not be absolutely unbeatable. That wins the hand. But the real trick, the one that wins the entire game, is to lose by the narrowest cumulative margin across the entire series of hands.
That's preposterous.
It's all the rage. Experience shows us that losing by the narrowest possible margin until almost the end is often the way to win a lengthy war.
And when have you ever done that?
Jesmyn began typing. Passing out of extreme weapons range into effective weapons range. Just saying. Evelyn glanced off to her right, as if she too were reading something outside the holocam view. She returned her attention to Terman.
Well, I suspect we'll have plenty of time to discuss our respective philosophies of war.
How so?
Because.
Jesmyn hit a button on her console. Deflectors! Her bellow was loud enough to startle Vought. Bindi reflexively brought up the ship's deflectors. On screen, Evelyn did not immediately react to what was going on aboard Concussor.
Seizing your vessel. Heave to and prepare.
Then alarm notes began blaring on the Corvette's bridge, and Evelyn's words cut off. The screen blanked and became a starfield again. In the distance, the glow of Starhawk's deflectors going live made the ship suddenly visible. Yet Bindi's voice remained cool.
Sound General Quartus, two, trade with me.
While swapping chairs with the ersatz Imperial officer, she glanced at Jesmyn.
You felt something in the Force?
Jesmyn nodded, most of her attention on her console.
Four new contacts. They've dropped out of hyperspace at Starhawk's original distance. They're coming on at flank speed.
Seven, bring us about. Then all ahead full. Then plot us a hyperspace jump out of here.
Coming about!
Vort sent Concussor into a spin rather than a bank. He fired forward starboard maneuvering thrusters and the stern port maneuvering thrusters. The vessel began to spin in place.
Exit jump already plotted.
You love math.
I love math.
Impatient, Terman, now at the weapons console, looked back at Bindi.
Orders?
Stand by. We don't want to provoke him.
They're already provoked, one!
She glowered at him.
Don't worry about weapons. Put all discretionary power into whatever deflectors are facing the enemy. Constantly update as we turn.
Already being done!
Terman's acknowledgement was cut off as the concussor shuddered and the ship's lights dimmed for a moment. Not everything dimmed. New lights began blinking or glowing steadily on Jesmyn's console. She glanced at Bindi.
Engines damaged. Losing power. We're at 70%. Hyperdrive appears to be reinitializing.
Terman interrupted.
Permission to return fire.
Denied.
Bindi hit her intercom.
Fall, report.
There was no answer.
Fall, report.
Sorry, leader.
Trey's voice sounded harried.
Engine's damaged, but I'm holding them together. Brief air pressure drop here, but I got a plate of Durasteel over the leak.
Bindi breathed a sigh of relief. Trey's voice came back.
Orders, leader?
Stand by, fool.
Bindi leaned back.
Six.
Here.
Execute command, Pollinate. It's on your top menu.
Yes, leader.
Scut sounded confused. Vort kept his eye on his controls. He discontinued the maneuvering thrusters, but as he prepared to fire their opposite numbers, which would decelerate Concussor from its spin, Bindi interrupted.
Don't complete the maneuver, Seven. Leave us spinning.
What? Yes, One.
Bindi glanced at Jesmyn.
Signal to the crew. Abandon ship.